good to know. Yeah.
Welcome to the Babbelry,
where translators visit the Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
Babel.
Babbelry.
This is your host, Suki Wessling, and this is a mini babble. You can find my full episode interview with retired judge LaDoris Hazard Cordell at babbelry.com. LaDoris graduated from Stanford Law School, an impressive degree, but as a black woman in the 70s, she could not get a job, so she started her own practice working in a historically black town that had never had a resident lawyer. LaDoris took on every kind of case as a lawyer, and as a judge starting in 1980, she ruled on a wide variety.
I presided over every kind of case you can imagine, from adoptions, to name changes, to criminal cases, to people suing each other, to probate, to family court, to mental health, where people are in locked psychiatric units.
LaDoris not only got to know wide areas of the law, but also got a front of the courtroom view of human nature and how the law truly affects the lives of everyday people. I asked her about feminism, and she said she'd always been a feminist, but she explained that black feminists have a difficult history with the movement.
When the whole Me Too issue came up and Harvey Weinstein, and I was out marching at that point, I did, however, I'll tell you my view, quite frankly, that especially during the Me Too, that things went kind of over too far, where I had women saying to me, we don't care about due process. You know, once the accusation is made, just believe women. I'm like, excuse me, hold up, move back.
People hearing the phrase believe women tend to hear two different things. Many people, like me, heard a plea to stop discounting women's testimony simply because they're women, which I hope has improved at least a little bit since that time. But other people heard believe all women, with the implication that women didn't make false accusations or that men deserved whatever they got. LaDoris knew otherwise on both counts. For years in her courtroom, she had watched human nature up close, and she had come to realize that due process, the legal tenet that even guilty people deserved to be heard, was the only path to justice. But some feminists, fed up with not being listened to, were pushing back.
And I'm not making this up. I've had women say this to me. You know, what do you mean they should be heard? I said, excuse me, our system is built an opportunity to be heard and due process. And as a result of that, if that person has committed egregious behavior, then should be punished. But everyone has the opportunity. And I got this pushback. So it pushed me back. All right. It was like, you know what? You know, I'm just going to step aside here and I watch. I mean, it just kind of went off for me off the rails. We just need, you know, to keep in mind that there's a system here that we should all be supporting. I don't care who the heck it is, due process, opportunity to be heard, and everyone, it applies to everyone. You don't just, you know, handpick people that should be allowed to have these principles or processes applied to them.
Our legal system is founded on a belief that factual truth matters. The principles were, of course, devised by white men whose reality was very different from ours. That creates a problem for a judge whose job description doesn't include adjudicating different belief systems.
When you're in court and you take the witness stand, you raise your right hand and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So as a result of the women's movement, particularly the more recent one, there's this whole redefinition, which it just drives me crazy, of truth. It's like, this is my truth. No, you don't go and say, you promise, you swear to tell your truth. And no. So there's a definition for truth. If you're talking about my truth, it's my belief, it's my perspective, but we've so distorted the word truth. Even that's like, well, that's not, that's my truth. No, there's truth. So I, you know, it's these little things. And I guess, you know, it's important to people, I guess, to say, well, that's my truth. I don't even know what that means.
I think Ladoris's struggle to understand how people can redefine truth rests on the sloppiness of modern American language, as well as the complexity of the idea of truth itself. Is truth the same as facts? Or is truth based on a person's perspective? Certainly, the men who created the basis for our legal system by and large believed that a woman's perspective was inconsequential. Those men's truth was that women did not have the facility to speak for themselves. As much as we hoped that the Me Too era would improve women's ability to be heard and believed, we're still dealing with these questions of due process and defining truth today. Right now, accusations against long-dead men like Cesar Chavez are bumping up against real-time accusations against sitting politicians like Eric Swalwell. Women are still not in agreement about the processes we should use to address past harms, and if we can't agree on how to treat men who are long dead, how can we agree what to do when even the same facts lead to different expressions of truth? My conversation with Ladoris reminded me of the complexity of adjudicating human interactions, where a man and a woman, Rashomon-like, may have lived two completely different stories that they both believed to be true. But the law doesn't tell us whose belief to favor. It asks us to hear both sides out and make our best effort to find a just solution using the facts at hand. Perhaps with our culture so fragmented and fractious, we're finding that we should ask, before we raise our right hand and swear, what truth really means. Thanks for listening. Tita by Zenobia Powell Perry was performed by Deanne Tucker for the African American Composer Initiative, aacinitiative.org.
You've been listening to The Babblery.
The Babblery is produced with support from KSQD Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
Find us on major podcast platforms or at babblery.com.